You are listening to the ForceCom Frontline, bringing you to our soldiers on the front lines of readiness. Hey everyone, welcome to the ForceCom Frontline. I'm Ashley and I'm your host. Joining me today are members of the 82nd Airborne Division All-American Chorus, who just recently took the stage on a national level and competed in America's Got Talent and made it to the finals. Although they didn't take home the prize, they took the stage and did an amazing job representing the Army. And so today with me, I don't have the entire chorus, but I do have Sergeant Marcus Gilbert, Sergeant Demi Vargas.
Yes,
okay. And Specialist Oscar Roldan.
Yes, ma'am.
Man, me and names, even though we all went through them all. thank you guys for being here and taking time out of your schedule, because I know you are really busy now that you've been on America's Got Talent and everybody wants to have the chorus at their event.
Yes,
just a bit. There have been some things.
So before we get started, I want each of you just to introduce yourselves, you know, where you're from, your MOS, how long you've been in the Army, the chorus, that sort of thing, so we can get to know you a little bit better. So I'll start with you, Sergeant Gilbert.
My name is Staff Sergeant Marcus Gilbert. I am a Seaburn soldier in my regular job. I've been in the course for the better part of a year and some change now, and I've been in the military since 2019.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about you?
My name's Sergeant Demarelis Vargas, but I go by Demi Vargas. I've been in the military. February is going to be 5 years. I've been in the course. November will be a year, so I have all these dates like lined up. And I'm a 56 Mike, which is a religious affairs specialist or chaplain assistant.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
What about you?
My name is Specialist Oscar Roldan. I'm from Orlando, Florida. I'm just about to come up on my fourth year in the Army.
Okay.
And I'm just short of a year in the Corps.
Okay. What's your MOS?
Oh, sorry. I'm in logistics.
It's so interesting. You all have like completely different MOSs, and here you come together to, you know, be in the Corps and work amazingly together.
Thank you.
Yes, it's a very diverse
company
that we work in. Very diverse.
Does that ever cause friction at all? You guys are singing and that's something that you guys come together with. It's something that you all enjoy. Is that kind of where you find common ground?
Yeah, I think we do find common ground with the singing, but regardless of what company we're in, you know, a company operates as a company operates.
Yeah.
We're going to follow what the commander wants, and
sure,
everybody is very easy to fall in line.
Sure. So y'all have had an exciting few months. I think this started back in April.
Yes,
I think
ma'am.
Was April when the first episode aired.
Correct.
And then since then, you made it to the lives and you made it to the finals. And can you just talk about how this all started? How did you end up on America's Got Talent? Whoever wants to take that one.
So it started back with a TikTok. It went viral. A couple of our guys were on one of the drop zones, and they were just singing My Girl. Somebody requested one of our it's a great song in our repertoire. It's been there for like a while, like 50 years, right?
Wow.
A little longer than that. So the guys just, you know, they did their thing, and then it went viral.
Yeah.
So it apparently got into the hands of one of the producers on AGT, and they sent the invitation out to our company commander, Major Dubois, and he always sits down with us to see, like, we're like a family. That's how we kind of work, a little dysfunctional family, and we're always traveling together. So he sits us down for big things like this, and he's like, hey, we have this opportunity. And it's coming up quick, and it's like an 80% chance if everything goes good, we'll be on America's Got Talent. How do y'all feel about that? And we were like, let's do it. We had no idea what we were getting into.
I mean, would you say no?
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just after that, it was like we gave him the okay. He's like, cool, let's do it. And from there, it just took off. Rehearsal. Our days were all about, like, just thinking, what's the next step for America's Got Talent?
Yeah.
How can we push ourselves?
Yeah.
And it was a lot of rehearsal, a lot of training until we were on that stage. And everything was just insane.
And so what was it like being on a stage? I mean, you guys are on stages all the time. You perform in front of large audiences.
Absolutely.
But to be on that platform, what was that like? I mean, and you headed the chorus as you went out for the first time. So can you talk about that?
It was a different experience, but the same experience at the same time.
Sure.
We're so used to being in front of crowds and performing and But this time we're being judged critically a lot more than what we usually are being judged
for.
You know, most of the time we just go out for the attempt. And if we do great, we do great, which we always do great. But, you know, there's no harm or foul if we do mess up a note here and there. But this time everything is being judged. So we were very mission ready when it came to it. And we took this so seriously. Just to make sure that we not only made our company proud, but the U.S. Army as a whole and the division. So
absolutely.
It was exciting, nerve-wracking, all of the above.
But you were so cool. You went out there and you said something to Heidi. And I mean, you just played it like it was a normal day in the office.
That's training mixed with a little bit of flair.
Were you nervous? I mean,
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, I was nervous. My heart was thumping.
Oh, man, you played it cool. I'll tell you. That was awesome. I mean, you all did great. It was so cool to watch you guys and to see your excitement of being there. So you talked about representing the Army and the division. What did it feel like? And I'll go to you, Specialist Roldan. Oh, my gosh. Can I just call you Oscar?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Absolutely. What was it like to represent the chorus, the 82nd, the 18th Airborne Corps, and the Army as a whole?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's huge, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of times, especially somewhere on my level, being junior enlisted, that's not normal for us at all.
Yeah.
A lot of times on the junior level, you're learning.
Yeah.
And you're kind of following the footsteps of NCOs and officers and figuring out sort of your path and your way in the Army. It's never really on you to be in the front, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's definitely surreal. But I think for me, and I'm sure I can speak for a lot of my fellow juniors, like, it's amazing, you know? And I'm so honored to get to be a part of that group and to have that with these guys. You know, it's I couldn't ask for a better group of people, honestly. The level of motivation, the level of professionalism, and this huge task that we were entrusted with, you know, from our division leadership and from our core leadership is, I mean, it's, again, it's a blessing and an honor to be chosen for that.
And you were up front, right? Am I wrong? Like you?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
It was.
I mean, again, going back to, you know, you guys perform all of the time. You've done solos in the past, but to have the cameras in front of you and to have Simon Cowell and Heidi Klum and, you know, those big names.
Yeah. So, it's kind of like Sergeant Gilbert was just talking about, you know, when we go to a performance around here, obviously you want to do your best. It's what
Absolutely.
We practice for. But if you miss a note, you know, it's not going to be the end of your road, right? We're going to be back at that festival again next year, back at that school in a few weeks, right? With something like this, you know, not a lot of people know, but we were told during the show, Simon has a monitor next to his seat. He's the only one that has a monitor, you know, because he used to be a record producer. So, sure, he's watching your performance, but then he'll drop down the air and actually listen note by note and make sure everything's blending.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So there's that extra level of pressure. Like, if I didn't, there's no, how do we say, there's no shamming this one.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you're not getting through it just getting through it.
Well, and he was always the mean guy on America's American Idol or whatever it was.
Right.
So that's like even more pressure.
I think, too, that's kind of a funny thing, you know, because that was our generation.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I mean? We were kids. We were watching American Idol and watching that, like, you know, I hated it. You were terrible.
It was terrible.
Absolutely dreadful, right?
Yeah.
So I remember when Sergeant Gilbert started out the movement for us, and you know, that specific song for our audition, the bass section starts it, and I've got like two lines to get ready. You know what I mean? They hit the do bum bum, and I'm like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
And I remember for a moment, I just couldn't hear anything. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, all right, here we are. But yeah, having such positive feedback from him was like a dream come true for me, you know?
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, again, being in the community and having the praise of the community. And I mean, not even just the community. You guys do events bigger than just Fayetteville. Yeah. And it's great to have that support and, you know, people saying how great it was, but then to go in and be on this stage and have these people who do this professionally validate what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, how did you all get into singing? I mean, we're talking about logistics and Seaburn and religious affairs. Like, talk about how you got into singing and how you decided, hey, I'm going to try out for the chorus.
When I was younger in high school, I did a musical just to impress a girl at the time.
Okay.
But from there, I was in marching band and I picked up on, you know, classical music and musicals. And, you know, my first Broadway play I ever got to see was Phantom of the Opera. So from there, you know, I've always enjoyed the musical life and singing and everything. Never was good at it. Never was the best at it, you know. But I've always, you know, sang in my shower, sang when I'm at work, sang around bass whenever I'm just doing anything. Yeah. And it just so happened I was in the pack shed one time and I was singing and someone from the chorus actually told me, hey, you should go audition for the chorus. I didn't even know you guys existed. So from that, that's how I got into the chorus.
Okay.
So for me, I mean, it's similar, but a little more focused. I've sang for over 20 years.
Okay.
You
look like you're 20.
I look like I'm 20. A little bit older. My father got me a karaoke machine when I was 4.
Oh.
And most of that was just
Did he regret that decision?
You know what? No, he used to sing with me. Okay. Honestly, yeah. My dad was a musical person.
Okay.
And I remember when I was younger, I wanted to sing. And I don't think my parents at the time maybe could afford lessons or afford certain other alternatives. So my dad, in his ingenuity, was like, let me get this karaoke machine. It's got all these songs loaded up. So I used to use that thing all the time.
Oh, awesome.
All through elementary school. And when I got to high school, I started doing more competitive things, you know, musicals and different shows around town. And as soon as I left high school, I went straight into working in theater.
And wow.
Yeah. Moved up to New York for a little bit and worked up there for a little bit.
And then you joined the army.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. No, I'm just kidding. No, I took some time off from it, and my dad was also in the army.
Okay.
You know, and I'm actually the fourth generation of my family.
Wow,
in the army.
That's amazing.
So I think I always knew this was going to be something that was going to happen. There's been a member of my family in the military since World War II with no break in service. So I was like, yeah, I guess it's my turn.
Yeah.
And then sort of the same thing. I didn't even know about the chorus until I did.
Yeah.
One of my friends in the company was like, hey, like, we were at a party and I was singing, you know, like with the guitar and stuff. And he was like, man, have you thought about the chorus? And I was like, I don't know. No.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Okay. What about you?
So I grew up in a very traditional Puerto Rican household where there was always a reason to party and be around music. My uncle, actually, Manny Manuel, he is a famous singer in Puerto Rico. He's known as the King of Hearts.
Wow.
So we would sing with him all the time, whether it was like at family parties or they do this festival every year and they do it in San Sebastian as well. It's La Parada Puertorriqueña and the party is a parade, Puerto Rican parade.
Okay.
And they have like singers and stuff. And my earliest memory of my childhood, I was like 10 years old singing up there with him. We had like long skirts and we were just throwing them around.
Sure.
And everything. And for any reason, there was music in my household. Saturdays was cleaning. So there was bachata playing from 8 in the morning. So we were done in the afternoon. And so when it came to the chorus, it was actually we do karaoke in the hangar with the aviation guys just to try and do some morale. And the guys thought it was hilarious to, like, do this every Friday. So I was just there singing with them. And Staff Sergeant Dawson, which I love her so much, she's at Fort Cavasso now. But she came to me and she's like, hey, I got this flyer for the 82nd chorus, and I think you should try out. And she was like, I don't know if they have, like, multiple, like, languages that they sing in. Maybe. They do travel a lot because my first language is Spanish.
So I would have never guessed that.
Yeah. I'm very comfortable in Spanish music. So I went and auditioned. I had 2 days to prep. I prepped myself as best as possible. And I did an English song, and then I did one of my favorite Mexican ranchero music, even though I'm Puerto Rican. I love Mexican music. So that's literally what I threw out there for my audition.
It's so amazing that you all had, like, this passion for singing, for music, and you joined the Army, and you're able to continue and pursue that. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's one of the many opportunities the Army just in the background provides.
Yeah.
Many people don't know about it. This isn't the only course that's in the Army, but, you know, there's a lot of bases that have a lot of programs that a lot of soldiers just don't know about.
Well, a lot of
like the special bands too, you know, like the field band and all that.
A lot of people know about the chorus now, though.
Yeah.
A couple people, I've been told.
I think you guys had a few votes. So can you talk about what went into preparing for your performances? I mean, we see the final result, but what led up to that?
A lot of rehearsal. A lot of rehearsal time. Leading up to coming back after our initial audition, the initial audition one was, you know, we took about 30 days where there's just, you know, nobody's leaving the company until the company commander feels comfortable every day that we've made progress in the song. The difficult part about coming back was first time we had to get My Girl approved. It was in our repertoire, super easy to get approved. The second time, we're trying to choose a song now that is not in our repertoire, that people wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
And we don't own these songs. That's AGT has to own the songs. Sony has to own the songs. So we're looking, searching. We went through about 12 songs before we actually was able to narrow it down, and AGT was like, yeah, you guys are good to do that song.
Huh.
And so once we got that song, you know, we had to figure out, we got to produce this music. We got to, you know, make this music. That way we can do it in our own version, not just copy the original artist. And learning music that's outside of our repertoire was very different. And then now on top of that, we're not only standing in two lines. We're moving around stage.
You sure were.
And jumping. And we're doing all of this in dress uniform. So there's a lot of days where we were practicing in boots, but the shiny boots with other uniforms on, just so we can get used to walking around in those boots, you know. So it was very out of our element, but at the same time in our element, because we just train hard.
Well, and so was that difficult, in maybe not for you three, maybe you call somebody else out, but to learn, you know, you guys did a lot of movement in that second song, the circle and the camera in the middle, and I mean, did anybody struggle?
I found it difficult. Yeah. I found it difficult to get used to.
I struggled.
Yeah. You do, you know, we've been doing this for about a year now where you just sit still, you sing, you focus on your notes, and you focus on your music, but now you're not just moving around. You have to make sure when you're at your spot, you're at your spot.
Because that's right.
All the cameras that are there, they can see where you're messed up.
Yeah.
So. And that's the other thing too, is, you know, there's on that level, starting at the semifinals, there's 17 cameras.
Oh my goodness.
Right. So that's 17 different angles. And that's one of the briefs that we got early on was, you know, this is not gonna be one of those things where you can be doing 60% and the guy next to you is doing 100 and you can get away with that.
Yeah.
Because there will be a camera that finds you. You know, so I think, you know, that was that little added pressure when we started this, but that was good.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody sort of fell in line and said, oh, shoot, like, it doesn't really matter who's up front anymore. We're all on stage at some point. You know, we're all on the camera at some point.
I'll tell you, watching you guys, it looked like everybody was there 110%. I mean, you all looked like you were having the time of your lives.
Yeah, we were.
We really were.
I think, like, it hit everybody, like, that final week, because we prepped as much as we could here, right? But then when you get to AGT, you get to LA, the AGT producers get their hands on you, and it's like, that's
and they
choreography
everything.
Isn't working. So after spending a month and a half learning new moves, they're like, psych, Sarn Vargas, we want you here.
Oh.
Make sure you look at this camera, and we're doing a salute this way. Mm. And it's like, hey, yo.
And musically, too.
What are we doing? Yeah,
we had music parts change, I think, as soon as 48 hours before the actual show.
Wow.
So, you know, guys are comfortable in their piece for a month, and we're like, hey, do it this way.
Yeah, and then, like, I started as an alto in the chorus. For the semifinals, I was a soprano.
Oh,
and
so some people's
it was,
sections.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was like, so you're going to hit these high notes, and I know you haven't done it in a long time, but you got it, I promise. So it was like the AGT producers were so supportive, but also they knew that with our group, they can push us to the highest of limits. And regardless of what we got going on, you know, with the command team and the division supporting us, we're like, we can't let down our people. You know, we got to come back home, and regardless of what happens, and if we don't get to the finale, then at least we left it all on the stage.
Absolutely.
And that's all that kept running through our mind. And, like, our biggest thing is we're all perfectionists in our own little way. So regardless of what the judges thought, if we felt like it wasn't good enough, we're going to run it again.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that was, it was actually funny backstage. Remember a couple of the producers were like, I wish all of our contestants were soldiers. Like, you guys are so easy. We just tell you where to go and you go. Yeah. Like, yeah, well, you're not yelling, so this is easy.
So did you guys have a lot of interaction with the judges outside of being on the stage?
I would say we had a lot more interaction with Terry than the other judges. The judges, we got to see them a lot the day of the performance.
Okay.
But besides that, we didn't get a lot of interaction with them.
Okay. The biggest interaction that we had with the judges was with Simon, you know, both on stage, and then we had a small segment of time that he came backstage to talk to us for a bit. So.
Yeah. What was it like after, I guess, the semifinals when you made it to the finals?
That was a crazy
insane
week. But no, seriously.
What did it feel like hearing, you know, the 82nd All-American Chorus is going
on? Well, there's a great picture of somebody midair. Yeah.
So it was very crazy because, so they block everything and they give you fake results, right?
Okay.
Like before the show actually goes live, so they know where everybody's at. And the producers are explaining to us, hey, when we call your name, you know, that means you got eliminated, or that means you made top five. So I'm like, boom, too easy. Cool. Like, if we leave, we leave.
Yeah.
I wasn't going into it. And Specialist Williams, we had the same mentality. If we make it, we make it. And if we don't, bye. We had no time, you know?
Yeah.
So when we went through and the first results came through and we were the first ones, 82nd Airborne Chorus, Williams looked at me. I looked at her. I was like, hey, yo, that's top five. And she's like, ain't no way. I was like, we're in the top five.
Do you remember the
We were all, so we had mics on. We were all breathing into the mics. And I know for a fact production was like, we need to cut this off. Everybody went,
Well, because every single person, this was completely unplanned. Every single person, they called our name. They were like, 82nd Airborne Division, step forward. Every single one of us, like, in time at the same time was like,
Like, I mean, and then for the second one, letting us know, like, we made it first. They called us first every time. I didn't know what to do. I looked back. I was like, hey, no way. Then I look at Sarin Gilbert. He's in the air and everybody's freaking out trying to hold him. Like, we had no idea what to do. And we just looked at our command team. Because, you know, Command Sergeant Major De La Peña's out there, and I see them hugging and celebrating, and I'm like,
that was cool.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That was cool. Seeing Major General Leniv throw up there. Yes, sir.
I'm pretty sure they showed him on TV, too.
Yeah, no, he did. He did. It's a great clip. It's a great clip.
Yeah. That's so awesome. So I'm curious. I noticed that it seemed like throughout the few performances that there were swaps within, like, somebody didn't perform in the first one, but then they came and they were performing in the second one. Mm-hmm. Can you just talk about, like, the dynamics of that? Like, who sing, or do certain people sing in certain songs? Like,
yes. So the chorus, you only have a tenure with the chorus for about 2 years.
Okay.
Before we are moving new people in and you are moving out. So I think between our initial audition and coming back for the semifinals, we had lost about 4 or 5 members.
Got it.
Went down to about 10 people. And then we recruited heavily, and we got up to 18 before we came back for the semifinals.
Wow.
So there was a lot of people that were in the course that had only been there for maybe 4 or 5 weeks.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all the pressure's on them, right?
We picked up these people, and they haven't even learned their original music yet. We were just like, hey, this is a song you need to learn now. Like, if you're doing this on live television for millions of people in about a few weeks, you know. So that's just the up-tempo, you know, that's an accurate day for the chorus, you know, where we're just like, hey, we got this, that, and this coming up. You just get ready for it.
And can you imagine somebody like Private Carlton, who sang the little third solo, you know, few weeks before this, she's a mechanic. She's in the motor pool, changing tires.
Insane.
You know,
she's been in the course for weeks.
Yeah,
two months, eight weeks.
Yeah. You know, yeah. So
like while we were doing the first round, we had just left, and the commander was like, "Yeah, you're good to join the chorus."
Yeah.
We left for AGT because there's a whole process behind it.
Yeah.
The brigade command sergeant major has got to be like, "Yes, you can have my soldier for that time," right? So during that time, all that paperwork's getting moved and approved. When we come back, it's time to train up for semifinals, and we're like, "Hey, welcome to the chorus. Yes, you have 12 songs to learn. But these two are the ones that you need to prioritize." And then the commander does, like, auditions for the solos when it comes to certain missions. Mm-hmm. And since those two songs were brand new, we needed two new soloists. Yeah. And Specialist Rodan and Specialist Williams did I Am Here. And then Private Carlton and Specialist Moriarty are two brand new members.
Wow.
That... Specialist Moriarty came on 2 weeks after Private Carlton. They were our soloists for our last song.
How crazy.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible.
The army, I mean,
but and to come into the chorus and have that experience right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, yeah.
We are totally going to run out of time, and I'm really sad
That's
about
okay.
that.
That's
okay.
But I want to talk about, so the songs that you guys did choose for the semifinals and the finals were totally different than what you typically do.
Correct.
So do you think you'll add more variety to your song list?
It's difficult to call because it really depends on the environment that we're performing for.
Okay.
You know, if we're doing a memorial, you know, some of these songs aren't appropriate to do.
Sure.
If we're doing something that's very patriotic, we're going to pull out our regulars, you know,
Absolutely.
God Bless USA and stuff like that. And so it really all depends on who's requesting us, what do they want, and what are things that we are capable of doing. Because those songs, we had click tracks and, you know, background stuff going on, and we usually are just a cappella.
Right.
We don't use the background music. We don't use any of that stuff. So, songs like those are difficult to do when we can't mimic those background noises
totally
that you
sense.
Do need. So
yeah.
That's probably why we haven't added stuff like that to our repertoire.
That makes sense.
And it also depends, too, like, what season are you catching the chorus in? Mm-hmm. Like, right now we're going into PCS and ETS season, and it's very heavy for the chorus right now. We're recruiting a lot because, like, I'm leaving soon. Sergeant Gilbert's leaving soon. A couple of our sopranos, we're hurting for sopranos.
Yeah.
We get them, and then we lose them because it's PCS season.
Yeah.
You know? And ETS season, so it's like you want to keep them, but you can't.
Yeah.
It's a 2-year commitment, so it's very hard.
So I have two questions that I want to get to before Dean cuts me off completely.
Sure.
So you guys have always traveled to for performances.
Yep.
I mean, you were just at AUSA last year singing with the Secretary of the, or last week singing with the Secretary of the Army. But you're also going out to, I think, Utah, maybe down to Georgia, like all of these huge events. What has that, these having more of these things, these opportunities, what's that been like?
Yeah, no, I think we don't take that for granted for 100%. You know, there's a lot of us that have been in the Army for a fair amount of time before the chorus and understand, like, this isn't the typical Army life, right?
Yeah.
And I think all of us are very blessed to have these opportunities, and it's great that we get to go to places and show people a human side of the Army, a human side of the division.
Yeah.
You know, there's something more to a soldier than what they see on a billboard. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? There's a whole human, and there's a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds in our organization.
Yeah, like we just said.
So, yeah, I think that's really what makes everything special.
Yeah.
And professionally, I think it's really increased all of our resiliency. I know me individually, you know, I have a lot of stuff that still happens outside of the course in my regular life. I'm a coach at a high school.
Oh,
you
wow.
know, I'm a father, and I have a lot of things going on. But, you know, when we're traveling on the road, I'm handling all that stuff from the road.
Yeah.
And especially with, you know, throwing in rehearsal, throwing in our performances and, you know, all these interviews that we are doing, you know, it professionally, it's helped me grow mentally by, you know, tenfold than what I would in a regular unit.
Sure.
So it's just been a real blessing.
Did you want to add anything?
Yes, ma'am. I think it's the same thing as Sergeant Gilbert. I'm also a mom, right? And yeah. My biggest thing, like my biggest takeaway from this has been I'm very blessed to have the opportunity that I've had with the 82nd Chorus, because I can go to Walmart on a regular day and I have little girls that, you know, they look up to me and I'm like,
that's
well,
amazing.
I'm like, I appreciate it. And I have this mass sergeant that his daughter's been wanting to meet me for like since we got back from AGT. And so it's just things like cool. That where I grew up to be the role model that I always wanted. And it's like a blessing because I never thought that I'd ever have that impact in my life.
That's awesome. I love that. And I think I'm sure you're not the only one who has made that impact on other younger kids, too. I mean, I'm sure you all have. Before we go, what do you want to say to the millions of people who supported you on America's Got Talent? You know, and the people behind the scenes who made this happen. And I'll let each of you say something. So,
well, first to all the people who did support us, that it was an amazing ride. And we really appreciate you taking us as far as we did. We appreciate the experience. We appreciate everybody tuning in and showing us any type of love, whether it be one vote, 10 votes, regardless. For everybody, Army side, Pentagon side, government side, regardless that allowed this to happen, I hope more opportunities like this advance for not just, you know, the Army, but all of the armed forces. There are multiple opportunities that are out there that wouldn't be looked at, but I hope this is, you know, something that would open a lot of officials' eyes.
Yeah. I just want to say about the same thing. Just thank you so much for the opportunity and to not forget, like, we're still here. We might not be on AGT all the time, you know, but we're still around. And after our time with the 82nd Chorus is done, there's still going to be a chorus. Yeah. It'll continue. And for future paratroopers and people that right now are listening in and are like, oh, maybe I can do something different, you can.
Yeah.
And the situation that you are right now is probably temporary. Whether it's good or bad, it's temporary. So keep moving forward because you'll find yourself somewhere even better.
I love that.
Yeah, so, you know, for me, like I've already said, a huge thank you to the leadership in the Army that, you know, even allowed me to do this thing.
Yeah.
Also, I'd love to give a thank you to the production folks at AGT. I mean, they were so amazing to work with. I think that we learned so much about ourselves as performers over there and sort of expanded our horizons, became more professional. Big thank you to my team, obviously. You know, I couldn't have done this without them. And I think the people who supported us, it was a joint effort, right? We came and prepared what we had to do, but after the auditions, it's just as much the people who are voting for us as it is us, you know, like we literally could not have gotten there without them, you know?
Right.
So, big thank you for those people. And I think, you know, for anybody who's watching our experience and seeing what we've done, and I say this especially personally, like if you've got something that you love to do, like just because you take some time off of it doesn't mean you have to give it up. You know, like I took a long time off music and ended up there again.
And I would add, just because you join the Army doesn't mean you have to give up something
that
you love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Almost the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, the Army can be a great avenue for you to explore what you're passionate about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you guys taking the time to talk with me. This was fun, and I think you guys did an amazing job representing the division, the Corps, the Army as a whole. You guys are just amazing, and it was amazing to watch you guys.
Thank you so much for having us. It was a great time.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can also find full video episodes of our podcast on YouTube. You can just search for the Force Comm Frontline. And we'll see you next time on the front line.